This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
Hey, my name is Brant, and no, I am not smooth, but I'm getting better at this. Sherry knows this. She's the show's producer.
I know what, that you're not smooth?
I'm not smooth.
Yes,
I've got social,
I do know that.
Social issues, but I'm getting better with loving my neighbors. And here, you know what a key for me has been?
What?
I mean, loving my literal neighbors, people that live around me.
Okay.
Normally, I don't want to talk to anybody. To myself, I always feel dumb when I talk to people anyway.
Why?
It just doesn't seem to me like it ever goes off well.
Okay.
Like other people, they could just slide into conversations. It's like, oh, yeah, I never know how to get there.
Okay.
To the, oh, yeah.
And then you don't know how to get out either, yeah. Right?
I just decided that's the way it is, and too bad. Like, what I mean by that is, so I'll look dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Just make the effort.
Yeah. So I walked by the other day. My next door neighbor, Wyatt, is back from Afghanistan. He's a pilot. And I went and I actually said hey to him.
Which intentionally. Was
intentionally. It was in his garage. I had to walk up to his garage. His door was open. And I was like, hey. And
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. I applaud the effort.
Pretty well. And I was able to say, you're back from mm-hmm. Afghanistan. That's great. Thanks for your service and all that sort of stuff. But it went really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he invited himself over with his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed at our house for like 4 hours the other night just talking to us about stuff.
Really?
Marriage and stuff.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That is good, all because you stepped out of your comfort zone.
The key to me was like, okay, if I look dumb, so before it's always been, I'm going to look dumb, so I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, so I'll look dumb, so what? I either have to love people or not. Like, I'm okay with looking dumb if I can just love people for once.
Mm-hmm.
I've just gotten that frustrated with it. Like, time to grow up and love people. That's all. This happens so often where I even have gotten used to it. People are like, yeah, when I first heard you, I thought you were crazy. When I first heard it, I thought, why are you even on the air?
And they're saying it.
To be nice.
To be nice, because they then go on to say they enjoy the show and they understand now.
It still hurts. Well, make no mistake.
Yeah, when you like, say to someone, I hated you at first, that still, it
I
stings.
I hated you at first.
Yes.
Or, man, that thing you were wearing yesterday was ridiculous, but today you look great. It's still like, oh, we're okay.
It could be painful.
How about this? This is one I just got.
Okay.
And it said, when I first listened to you, I was listening on my way home from work and I thought, this guy is a loon.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay, right.
Yet the honesty and sincerity ultimately touched me. And thank you for helping me find my way back to God, which is really, really sweet.
That's nice.
And that's proof, again, that the Lord will use anybody. But I did want to tell you this, like if you're new to the show, give us a little bit of a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like anybody, if you meet friends that ultimately you think, oh, they're interesting, I like them.
Mm-hmm.
At first, you're like, what in the world? Takes a little bit, you get to know them, then it can be cool. So just please.
So if you're thinking loon right now, give it a minute. That's what we're asking. Just give it a minute.
What she didn't say is that she ever retracted that.
No,
she's like, okay, you helped me on my way back to God, but you're still a loon. That's okay, too. One great thing about Christmas music as we hit this coming season,
mm-hmm.
you can always sing along with it. It's great. And I've got my parts. Like, you probably have your parts, too, don't you? The old carols and stuff?
No, I don't have my parts.
Yeah,
I love
it.
No, I don't. I love the music, but I don't have a part.
I do the part where it's repeat, like, heaven and nature sing. I nail that every
time. Oh, that's you.
Thank you.
Oh.
I'm that guy. Christmas caroling group.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants me in their Christmas caroling group.
They're fighting out.
I nail that stuff.
Okay.
They don't come out and ask me to join, but uh-huh. I can see it in their eyes. They're like, we want this guy because he nails that.
Does it look like hostility that they're giving towards
you? Vaguely, but it's a fine line between hostility and please join us. Major problem last night. Marriage-wise, I'll share this with everyone listening.
That'll make it better.
Yeah. This never happened. I've been married a long time. We were at somebody's house. It was very sweet. They had us over for dinner.
Uh-huh.
And they have these kids. They have lots of kids.
Okay.
Very sweet kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife turns to me and she's like, hey, after you do that, you want to go home?
Okay.
And I always take my cues from her because I can't tell how long we're supposed to be places or
mm-hmm.
what we're supposed to be or what the arrangement was. She sets up. I'm like, okay. And so we left a few minutes later. We got in the car and she's like, why are we leaving? And we'd only been there, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour.
Oh, really?
But I thought, okay, she must have had arranged it so that it was a short visit, and they have all these kids, and they didn't want us there very long. I don't know. And I said, well, you said, and she's like, no, but I heard you say you wanted to leave, and she misinterpreted something I said to somebody else.
Oh.
And so she was clarifying. I thought she was inviting us to leave, and the next thing we know, we're in the car.
After an 11-minute visit.
And she, exactly. I'm so socially clueless. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I guess that's what we arranged, like a real quick dinner and gone thing. And then she's like, you didn't notice I brought all these games and we were supposed to have a game night?
Did you go back in?
No. She's like, do you want to turn around? I felt, and that's what I should have done, is I should have turned around and gone back to their house.
Okay.
But I just felt so sheepish about it. Like, who does that?
When you show back up and be like, hey guys, that was a misunderstanding. We're back here for the rest of the rest of the event.
So we both wound up texting the family going, we both thought the other one wanted to leave for some reason. We were both being deferential.
I am mesmerized by that. As a person who's not married, I'm mesmerized how that doesn't happen more often, because you have two separate people trying to come together to make something
totally
happen.
Totally. And I was just trying to, like, okay, I'm taking your cue. You need to leave.
Right.
We're supposed to leave. Okay.
And she thinks she's taking your cue because she heard you say something.
And then we leave this family high and dry, and they're like, boy, they got out of here like a shotgun.
And you guys are in a car like, why are we here?
I can't figure this thing out. It's funny. You've been married for a long time. There are going to be misunderstandings. You cannot get past it totally, ever.
So as a single person, I would think that those misunderstandings, those miscues, misfires, so to speak, within a marriage would happen all the time, where one person is thinking one thing, the other person's thinking something else.
All it does.
Trying to combine those thoughts into one coherent thing.
Honestly, I think that's at least for us, and mm-hmm. I have observed with friends mm-hmm. as well, is that's the number one problem, is one thing, when one person was thinking one thing,
right.
expected this. You weren't thinking that they were thinking that, expected that is the number one problem.
It's so interesting. When I went to a party one time and I was ready to leave, and I said to a friend, I'm leaving. And she said, yeah, I'm tired. I'm leaving too. And when I went to leave, she was still there. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, well, my husband, I thought this, that, and then. And when I got in the car, I was like, man, that has to be so complicated, because I don't have it. As a single person, there's no one to consult.
This is just the thing. When people who are, it's best to be content
mm-hmm.
where you are. It doesn't mean you don't get married or anything right. like that, but it is best to be content, because there are pluses and minuses, and I love being married,
uh-huh.
but it is true. Your autonomy, if you're like, I'm leaving, I can't just be, I'm leaving. I never do that.
Right. And because you can't.
You can't.
And you came together.
I defer.
Right.
And a lot of times she defers to me, or it's just you get your own rhythm going with the relationship. But man, it's not easy.
I'm impressed that you have been able to do it for this long.
Thank you. It's been good. I don't understand something. People put, and you've noticed this, I'm sure, people put pictures of food up on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, I've never understood that.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Facebook.
But I thought, okay, everybody's doing that. I'm trying to be cool. By the way, my name's Brant. If you never heard the show before, I don't understand culture at all. Mm. I don't understand how people operate. It doesn't make sense to me. So everybody's putting pictures up of food. I'll do that.
Right.
So I did it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I put up a picture of my dinner.
I think I saw that, actually.
Yeah, everybody else's response is when I see people put, oh, that looks delicious. Oh, that's it looks great. The reactions to mine were, oh, sick, disgusting. Yeah.
That was sort of my reaction, too. Disgusting, just...
I don't understand. Why everybody else can put up their... I don't like their food.
Well, they're putting up food that they have prepared.
I put up food that I prepared.
You put up a bowl of cheese.
It's a bowl... That was my dinner. I have a bowl of shredded Parmesan.
Yeah.
And then I have some ice water with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get really excited about it. My wife wasn't home, and I thought, well...
This is your dinner.
And it was really good.
And you expected a better response.
Yeah. I just don't... Everybody gets judgmental about my thing. I see your thing, and I'm like, gross, but I don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was kind of hurt. I just want everybody
to know
that.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's not your fault. Part of it is, and we've talked about this, and you're new to the show. I keep mentioning it because it explains so much.
Mm-hmm.
I have Asperger's syndrome. That is something that a lot of we Aspies have quirky eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
So I love burnt toast dry. And I love bowls of Parmesan cheese dry.
Yeah. And it is odd. You can admit that it's odd. That's good.
At least, yeah, I'm aware of that now. Jenny, though, on Facebook, she saw a picture of my dinner of the bowl of cheese Parmesan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I don't normally eat cheese, but I will eat that.
Yes. in droves. I mean, just a lot of it at a time.
Jenny did say, recipe, please. And so I said, and I'll pass this along to you, too, as a
tip. Oh, you're going to tell us how to prepare it.
It's actually pretty easy.
Okay.
I buy pre-shredded Parmesan, and now I don't always eat it out of a bowl, so you don't have to do that.
Oh.
Sometimes I'll just eat it directly out of the thing.
Right out of the bag or the container.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But you always need a spoon. So you want one of those. The tap water that I had in the picture is readily available. I combine it with some frozen tap water to create a taste sensation that interplays nicely with the salty undertones of the bowl of cheese. It's subtle, refined, yet bold. So,
well, that's nice to be able to tell us that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I just want to help. You will hear us talk about grace a lot on this show. My name is Brant, by the way. Welcome. You'll hear us talk about that a lot. Sometimes people are like, hey, I need to hear more about the rules, the moral rules in life, Brant. Like, you know what? I'm all for rules. I like rules. In fact, I'm such a big fan of rules. When I was a kid, we would play cops and robbers. I always had to be the cop, never the robber, because I believe in there's got to be a way that things are done, and I wanted to be the police. I named my son Justice. I mean, we like rules. I'm a rules person by nature. Here's the problem. Rules never change anybody's heart. Ever. You know what changes somebody? It's grace. When they're actually let off the hook. That's what changes somebody's heart. Rules can be wonderful, but grace is something different altogether. And I am most interested in, through the radio, not telling you, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Most of the time, you already know all this stuff. We already get it. I'm interested in you seeing just how good that God really is and reminding you of it, because we all need to be reminded. So that's our job. That's what we'll be doing. And yeah, you'll hear me talk about grace a lot, because that's the only thing that ever changes any of us. Nick Walenda tight-roped across a couple buildings in Chicago yesterday, which is really cool and stuff. But can we admit that as amazing as that is, it may not be as amazing as the fact that you have broadcasters for an hour and a half.
Waiting for him to walk.
They have to fill time for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
If you ever try, like, if somebody says, hey, talk for 30 seconds about nothing, go. Mm-hmm. That's hard.
It is very hard. And you may think that it's easier. This is what they do. But you have to understand, there's no action happening.
Nothing.
So what are we talking about for an hour
for
and a half?
An hour and a half. Well, I'll throw it back to you. No, no, you keep it.
You started it.
Don't throw it back to me. Did you have any kids come to your door on Friday night?
I didn't.
None?
None. And so I was saddled with candy that I found use for, but ultimately it would have been nice if the kids would have come and got it.
That kind of hurts.
Why?
Because if I were you, I would be like, why don't you like me?
Well, I didn't take it as a personal indictment on my character.
Just saying, maybe they want to consider. No, I'm kidding.
Did you have kids come to
you?
We
had a few groups, okay. But I forgot to get candy, which
is
pretty normal.
For you?
And my wife was gone to pick up my daughter from school.
Okay.
And so I do what I normally do, which is shut off all the lights and then hide so that they can't even see my silhouette in there moving around. Because I feel so bad about it.
That's a noble move.
Yeah.
That's good.
Girl and man hiding behind the couch to avoid some kid in a Superman outfit. That's how I roll. This is such a great question. I love this. I think it was Timothy Keller who was asking this question. Now think about this. Jesus had an effect on people. On one group of people, he annoyed them. They were upset at him. They were angry at him. Then there was another group of people that loved him. Okay, who were those people? If you know the real life of Jesus, if you actually read the Bible, he's annoying people that were of a very certain religious stripe. People who thought they had it together, they were experts, they knew more than other people. And the people he drew were on the outs morally. They were drunks, they were women of ill repute. I mean, those were the people that were drawn to him like flies.
Because those were the people who knew they needed help.
Yes. And he didn't off-put those people. So here's my question. Here's the great question I thought Timothy Keller had. Are we like that now? Do you attract those sorts of people? And do you sort of repel those other people? If not, I can ask myself that. If these sinners, quote-unquote, are not drawn to me, and if there aren't some people who are trying to come between God and sinners aren't repelled by me to some extent, I'm off base. If I'm going to be like Jesus, guess who's going to be drawn to me? It may not be the crowd that a lot of people think should be. Our whole point with this show, we have an objective, and it's not about, believe it or not, because you'll hear us talk about Jesus quite a bit, and it's like, oh, okay, they're trying to get me some religion. Nope. Oh, okay, well, they're trying to get me to, shape up and just be a better person. Nope. Which sounds terrible. It's like, I don't care if you're a better person. Really, there's no agenda other than this. We want you to know how good God is. He's really, really good. He's scandalously good. I mean, it does scandalize people of a certain type mm-hmm. when they realize just how good God is and how he welcomes people, regardless of whatever you've done in your life or even what you're doing presently. Because you'll hear that a lot. I grew up in church culture, and I heard that, I used to do this. I used to, and it's always I used to.
Every testimony is like 2 decades ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay, well, now I'm awesome.
Right.
Well, we will tell you this. We're not awesome now. We're not morally perfect or anywhere close to it. And that's current. Mm-hmm. God is in this mess with you. He loves you. He doesn't walk away from you. He wants the best for us, but it's not about you get yourself in shape and then I'll come and be with you. That's not how God operates at all. He's looking for humility. He's looking for humility. He is that good that he will seek out the humble. And if you cry out to him, he'll hear you. That's what we'll be talking about a lot, just how good he is. It upsets some people, but most people are like, deep down, yes. Sherry, you got some kind of scrap last night?
It wasn't a scrap.
Sorry.
I was shocked, though, at the hostility that was directed my way when I said I don't have any pets. And I'm not really interested in having any pets. You would have thought I said something horrific against humanity.
How'd this come up? They were saying we have pets.
One of the people were saying they were getting a new puppy.
Uh-huh.
And then everyone's throwing in their 2 cents about what you'll have to do and all of that. And I wasn't contributing to the conversation because I don't have any pets. And someone said, Sherry, do you have any pets? And I said, no. And it was just this hush that came over the room and everyone looking at me like,
wait a second, you don't have pets?
No, Brent, I don't have pets.
Don't you have pets?
Good to know this is a safe place.
That's funny. We do have pets in my house.
You do, and I love your pets.
Yeah, Sherry got judged because she doesn't have a pet, and they were like, what kind of person are you?
They really did, yeah.
Be honest, though, we have too many.
What?
I'd like
you only have 2 dogs.
Here's the problem. Well, I have the dog that I want is my 3-legged dog, Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this other dog that barks constantly.
Arwen, Arfie.
Yeah, they're rescue dogs. And then we just got a fish.
Oh.
And it's all good, but I'm like, we're just... I don't know how to say this. It's not going to sound very manly.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it.
I get real attached.
Mm-hmm.
And the more pets you have... the more
you're emotionally spent, is that what you're saying?
No, it's gonna happen. Like, we're gonna lose them,
right?
I can't handle it. I seriously can't. I don't know how to.
Can you just enjoy them for the time that you have now and be okay with that?
Nope. No, I can't.
Well, all right then.
I don't want to look at the fish like, oh man, I'm gonna start getting, and then I know it's the heartbreak. It just don't count.
That's okay.
I don't like it.
It's all right.
Okay. Yeah, there's actually a name for this when somebody holds the door open for you and you're like far off.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the awkward jog of gratitude because you have to jog keys, purse, whatever you're carrying.
You weren't prepared to run, but you have to because this person is holding
the door.
The door,
and you're like, why are you holding the door for me? I'm 200 meters from, from ever getting there. So you have to take off running. So that happens. You saw somebody just refuse it?
Yeah, it was Thursday, I think, downstairs in our little lobby area. And a lady held the door, and the woman was kind of far away, and it was an older woman. So the older woman said, no, go ahead. And the lady just, no, I'll hold it. And the lady's like, go ahead. And the lady's like, no, I'll hold it. Just go. And I'm like, this is an awkward jog argument that's happening here. So the lady eventually just stopped holding the door. But this is
like, I don't want you to hold the door for me.
That's leave me alone.
I've felt that way. I've never said anything. It's like, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to run. And I'm like, yeah, I am.
You gotta pick the pace up.
I am now running towards the door. You, a total stranger, made me start running.
That's pretty awesome.
That is amazing. The power you can have with the door. This happens a lot where someone will ask me, hey, did you see this athlete or this? Or what do you think about Bono or this? Some celebrity, like, is he a good Christian? And I'm always flummoxed when I hear that question. I'm like, I have no idea. How would I have any idea? Well, he says, and he does this thing where he prays in the end zone, or he goes to the, you know, he does this other thing. Whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, but I don't know what his heart is like. I got no idea. And it's not a put down anybody. It's just being honest. You don't know. And I don't know the spiritual temperature of somebody else. You just don't. You don't know where they stand with God. You can act like you do. You really don't. Oh, is that guy a good Christian? I got no idea. And what do you mean by good Christian? Because Jesus said there's nobody good but God himself. So I guess the short answer is no, he's not. No, I'm not. But I think a lot of times what people mean is this person trying as hard as I am to keep these rules or something like that? And the fact of the matter is, Paul actually writes, this is in 1 Corinthians in the Bible, and very few people even notice this, but he actually writes that you don't know what's in somebody else's heart, and you don't even know what's in your own heart. Amazingly enough, you can fool yourself, and he says, just wait for God to sort it out. And why not? Makes life a whole lot easier when we're humble enough to go, you know what, I don't know where everybody else stands. I don't know where this person stands, that person stands. Some people can pull the wool over other people's eyes their entire lives, and you never know where their heart is. So how about just being humble about it, going, I don't know, God does, and he's good, and he'll figure it out, and it's up to him anyway. The truth is, if you are being honest about where you are spiritually, as far as you can tell, it's very difficult for somebody to say, honestly, pretty much have this down, pretty much got this whole thing figured out. I'm in control. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not double-minded at all. I'm not selfish. Like, truth is, you are selfish. I'm selfish. This is our nature. Mm-hmm. We struggle with it. God's good, and he's changing us. But we're fooling ourselves if we think for a moment that we've got this thing figured out.
No, we're constantly maturing, constantly changing. That's why I just honor the Lord for that, because that's what I have. He's changing me. But I refuse to put myself on some pedestal, and I do my best. I mean, in this kind of job,
right?
It's easy for people to do that us.
Yeah,
and I do I do everything I can to not let that happen, because that's difficult.
Do not do it to anybody.
Yeah,
do not put anybody on a pedestal. They will let you down because they are human. This goes for you. Can go, oh, what about this good Christian celebrity? We were just talking about that. There is no good.
No.
Besides God himself. So all you can do is give God credit. That person will let you down. And if you think, they're so much morally ahead of where I am, the reality is we're all on the same level. And the only difference is whether or not you're going to trust God or trust Jesus to cover your sin. That's it. And then see what he does to change you. But if he does it, it's his thing, and you can't brag about it anyway.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.